Hit that shit. I believe in miracles. Where you from? You sexy thing.
You sexy thing. You.
I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sexy thing.
I've been sick for a week, so I simply cannot sing that song right. Every time I try, it just goes away. There's just no voice up there.
You can do the bass.
You sexy thing.
Let's do the podcast in bass today.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to Respectfully Podcast.
Somebody's like, finally, they're not so shrill.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Do you think people turn the volume down on us?
Yeah.
Or listen to it in
Buddy,
a slower
pace?
Yeah, me too. I mean, I added the audio.
Nobody's listening to this slower. If anything, they're doing fucking two times.
Someone's jerking out with a belt around their neck, just listening to us in full speed. They're like, I want to kill him, and I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
Those are our fans.
So many people want to kill women.
I know.
They just want to kill women.
You simply cannot get enough of killing women.
It's like, it's so insane.
Why do they love that?
I don't know. And it's also like, I mean, it's like the internet will really show you how much people fucking hate women.
Yes.
Like I just posted a clip from a set where I talk about I went on a date with a guy who didn't tell me that he didn't have teeth.
Yeah.
And all the comments from men are them defending him.
I know.
And like being mad at me. And it's like, what? Why? Like, what stake do you have in this toothless man getting a blowjob?
Well, the best rebuttal I saw, because like, go check out Lizzie's Don't Tell set immediately. Don't Tell Comedy. It's so fantastic.
It's linked to my Instagram bio.
But I was up till probably 4 a.m. just in the comment section fighting with people. But I saw one person that was like, what if the inverse happened? Like you were a dude and you were on a date and some woman showed up with two teeth.
I know.
You would be like, fuck this pig.
This one guy commented was like, I'd rather have a girl with no teeth than a girl who's fat. And it's like, no, you wouldn't.
No one wants
You're
a
lying.
Person with two teeth.
And all these guys think that like, they're like, well, I bet he felt the same way when you showed up. And it's like, they're so fucking stupid. It's like, do you know how by looking at this video of me, you can tell I'm fat?
Yeah.
So could he.
Right. Right.
He also knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did not feel that way when I showed up. He knew what I looked like and wanted to fuck me.
Yeah.
They think you think you're like a detective for figuring out I was fat.
You cracked the case.
Everybody can see me.
Well,
he had his mouth closed. You fucking.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I spoke to a friend about this. Megan Ixom is her name. She's like a fat activist. She's super cool. And she said a lot of women on dating apps put pictures of themselves, fat women put pictures of themselves when they feel like they look worse, quote unquote, or like heavier, because they're so scared that the dude's going to show up and be like, you catfish pig. And like, they're not.
Oh my God, by the way,
wrong about how mean people are.
By the way, yesterday I had dinner next to Neve from Catfish. And I wanted to like turn to him and be like, I just posted a joke about a time I got catfished if you want to share it. But he was with his children, so I didn't say anything. But he was pretty Aperol Spritz drunk.
Wow, good.
Shout out Neve.
Shout out.
His wife is so hot.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I your joke is about catfishing. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
The no teeth is the biggest of catfish.
We talked on the phone.
Yeah.
You didn't think to one time tell me that you didn't have any fucking teeth.
Did his tone
and like
whistle?
Then there are also people in the comments being like dental care is a privilege,
oh,
blah, blah, blah.
God.
And it's like, yeah, sure. It's expensive to get your teeth fixed. I'm talking about lying.
Right.
This is a joke about a man who lied. And also, a lot of things are a privilege. I don't have to date someone with no teeth to have class solidarity.
To be woke.
I just simply don't.
I mean, I'm going to say it. The woke mob has gone too far.
I mean,
far.
You can't say anything anymore.
You can't.
You just can't say anything anymore.
You also, again, to your point, you simply cannot be a woman with any standards in the internet, no matter what you look like. Like, it's just like anytime a woman's like, I don't want a guy. It's the perfect example is the bear. Would you rather be in the forest with a bear or a man that's been going around? It's like, we can't just be like, yeah, I'm afraid you will murder me. And they're like, well, that hurts my feelings that you feel that
way. And then
this
guy posted a thing that was like, would you rather talk about your feelings to a woman or a tree? And it's like, okay, take your fucking tampon out and be a grown up. I don't know what to tell you.
It's so schizophrenic. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But speaking of men's rights.
Yeah.
I have the gavel. Oh, God.
This is like giving me.
I'm wondering where that is, by the way. I couldn't find it all week.
It's okay. It's been up my ass.
The way you're using this is giving me like anxiety that you're having a manic episode. So I'm going to hold on to it for a minute.
All right. I am not having a manic episode. But,
I know. I'm kidding.
But
you did just bang it really hard.
Feels good because I'm furious on the behalf of comedians and women. So I was speaking to a friend and comedian, John who has been doing road gigs, and we know lots of people who do these road gigs where like they send people out to breweries.
Yeah, I've done these.
Yeah, so there's a lot of road comics that we don't, you know, come across usually. And I'm not going to say the name of this guy because I am actively in the process of pranking him. Mm-hmm. But so John told me about this comic who is, so these road gigs are like the bottom, like,
yeah,
you could say and do horrible things and still be fine. This guy is so bad that they had to like take him off the road.
Hilarious.
Like,
and that's especially funny because a lot of these gigs are booked by the kind of men who are like, comedy used to be racist.
Yes.
And now it's bad because it's not, you know? So to get taken off of that is like,
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's like almost admirable.
It might be art.
Yes.
It might be art.
If this was a bit, yeah. If he was doing this as some Kaufman thing of like, look at me be the biggest pig ever in an industry where it's totally okay to be a rapist pig. So, but it's not a bit. He got kicked off because they were losing money because he was walking people.
Yeah.
And other comics, like, they make money in tips.
Yeah.
And no one was getting tips because everyone was like so upset. So this guy started a GoFundMe. So this is what I know about this situation.
For what?
So he is being censored. Everybody knows this guy. The coolest guy. So he has the GoFundMe up. By the way, he asked for $6,000 for a legal retainer for him to like fight for his civil rights or whatever fucking stupid shit.
Totally,
dude. He made $45.
Amazing.
Before he closed the GoFundMe. This is the description of the GoFundMe.
That'll buy 25 minutes in legal fees.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, my name is blank, and I'm a comedian originally from Florida. Florida! Shout out to it.
Wait, I want to see the name.
You don't know this guy. I started comedy in Los Angeles before moving to Austin. Of course.
Yeah.
I have won the U.S. comedy contest, competed in the New York Comedy Festival's Funniest Stand Up, something that me and Lizzie have never been on. Great. Appeared
also
on.
Also, did you?
No, I mean, probably not. Appeared on COT, so he does all the plugs, but one of my favorite things, he goes, I have opened or featured for the big dogs, like Rogan, Tim Dillon, Jamie Kennedy. I've headlined around the country. I regularly perform at Side Splitters or Joe Rogan's comedy mothership.
Great.
Quote, I am a dark comedian who says whatever he wants on stage. Someone who used to be really close to me is trying to file an order prevented me from saying anything which may be interpreted or offensive and embarrassing. This person who claims to be a comedian actually wants to censor and possibly criminalize another comedian, myself, for speaking. They want to be able to make it illegal if I say anything what they don't like. Yes, this is really happening.
Men get offended so easily.
It's crazy. Fucking.
Like, men are always yelling about how, like, everybody gets offended too easily today. You guys get offended so easily.
Well,
and this
right.
is also the same thing about what we were just talking about. I posted a joke about how I didn't want to fuck one guy and you guys all got offended. God, they're so emotional.
Paragraphs long. Yes, this is really happening. There really are sick people out there who will
yes,
lie.
Yes, this is really happening.
To little old me, who will lie and make up stories as to keep you quiet. He thinks he's like the Bill Hicks or like some great voice that's being stifled. I really need a great attorney and a $6,000 retainer that isn't on hand. So this fucking idiot.
It's also so funny to be like, the first paragraph is like, I'm very successful. And then the second paragraph is, I don't have $6,000.
But you open for the big dogs.
But you open for the big dogs.
Get Rogan.
Ask Rogan for $6,000 if he fucking loves you so much.
Give him a line of credit. All right. So obvious, this guy is everything that I hate in the world and in comedy. And don't worry, he's wearing a stupid fucking hat to cover up his bald spot in every fucking picture.
Yeah, who would wear a stupid hat?
Yeah, right. I can't even imagine.
What kind of self-respecting comedian would wear a stupid hat?
I'm not talking about a cool, ironic, stupid hat. I'm talking about a fucking...
I know, I'm just kidding.
Those newsboys.
Is it a newsboy?
It's a newsboy.
These guys are always wearing fucking newsboy hats. Just go bald.
There is nothing more triggering than a newsboy hat and a slight V-neck t-shirt. My blood is boiling. My eyes are twitching. I'm like, what are you going to say? So I was like, what can I do about this? And I was talking to whose father is a lawyer. And he was like, you can use my father's likeness to set up a lawyer's
website.
Did you
ask John if you could talk about this on the show?
Yes.
Okay, great.
He was like, you can use my father's likeness to set up a fake legal website so you can email this guy. So I've drafted up. So I'm going to email him. I'm in the process of making the website. I'm going to email him. I would like you guys to your feedback on the email that I've drafted up. Dear, I hope this email finds you well. My name is I'm an attorney based out of Florida. I'm reaching out because my good friend Gord Allen, my dead dad, sent me to your GoFundMe page. I am a huge fan of stand-up comedy and a champion of the importance of free speech. I loved your set and I completely agree with you. Comedy is under attack by this woke mob.
Sing it, sister. I'm with
you. I mean, you can't talk about a guy with no teeth?
You can't. You simply cannot.
Do you want me to get this fake lawyer on your side?
Yeah. Can you get this fake lawyer to reply to TikTok comments and be like, actually, she's not classist. She's just a girl.
I am the fake lawyer, so you can go ahead and pay me for that. I am so sorry for your recent troubles. I cannot believe that comedians are under attack like this. Can you imagine if Patrice O'Neill suffered this type of censorship?
Oh my God, that's gonna really get him hard.
Dude, I was like, I gotta find the comedians.
These guys love when you compare them to Patrice O'Neill.
White guys,
you know
love.
What's the difference? Patrice was funny.
Yeah, and yes, and a genius, and also a black person, so he can say fucking stuff about black people. These white guys are like, Patrice said it. I can say the N word. And it's like, oh, okay. Can you? And also, I love Patrice O'Neill and I listen back to his comedy. I'm like, yeah, he's talking about women like dogs in cages.
Yeah.
I don't love
that. It's horrible.
It's horrible, but I can separate the time. Like, I'm not a baby moron.
Yeah.
These guys are like, we should be able to do that today.
Also, like, one of the many reasons you can't do that today is because somebody already did it.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Like, it just simply is hacked.
Someone did it.
When he did it, it was exciting and funny
cutting
and interesting
edge.
And cutting edge. And now it's like, we get it. You hate women. We've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
Also, I do think that he didn't live long enough to see how he would have evolved.
Oh, I don't even want to think
so
about
that's
that.
Like, no, but it might have been a good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Bill Burr is somebody that kind of like, in his younger days, was definitely doing a lot of like, women are the worst
I could hit a woman.
And I think that he's like evolved.
Sure.
I don't think that
the
that's
black
his...
wife effect.
Yes.
Maybe.
The black wife effect.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, Patrice died, what, like 2012 or
something?
Yeah,
something like that.
He was like,
over a decade, 12 years. Like, you never know what.
It's also
what
possible that Patrice
happen.
Would be doing hack, you can't say anything anymore bullshit.
Right.
But like, there's no way to know. It's really easy when somebody dies to be like, to canonize them.
Totally.
Yeah.
But like, you have no idea what he'd be saying now.
Right.
And also, he wouldn't think that you're funny. This guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
He wouldn't think that this guy's funny.
Well,
he probably wouldn't think that I was funny because he did for sure have a problem with women.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't think this guy was funny. And this guy needs him to think he was funny.
He needs a dead comedian to think he was funny and live ones. These people. Like, Patrice O'Neill is one of the ones that they definitely... And, like, Tough Crowd, which I admittedly love.
I love Tough Crowd. I grew up on Tough Crowd.
Yeah.
But they were funny.
They were incredibly
they were
talented.
Funny.
And of that time.
Yeah, they were just more funny than they were fucked up.
Yeah.
And these people think they can just say fucked up things and it's the same thing.
Exactly.
They had punchlines.
Right. Can you imagine if Patrice O'Neill suffered this type of censorship? It's unthinkable. I would love to take on your case pro bono. I have been practicing law for over 30 years, and I feel confident that I can help you stop this injustice. Let me know if you have time soon to speak on the phone. Looking forward to connecting and hoping we can send a message to these woke losers. All the best, Dave.
Yeah, I love this.
Dun, 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 dun.
That I hated, but I love this.
I'm going to wear the judge wig. I need to find a man to get on a call with this guy.
We can do that.
Yeah. I'm toying with the idea, like, if I string this guy along for a while, and can I then send a clip to him of us just like absolutely calling him a fucking loser and revealing what we were doing? Is that illegal to impersonate a lawyer?
I think it might be. I'll say this off mic. Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anyone who hates me any ideas.
I mean, I interviewed a woman who was raped by a person that I dated. And I spoke to a lawyer that helps like comedians pro bono who are standing up to and or talking about sexual assault allegations, things that were done to them. And he was basically like, they can take you to court for libel if you can reasonably figure out who this person is from what you said.
Yeah.
But if it's clear that what you said is true, then they throw the case out, which is like almost all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, the court isn't famous for believing that people have been raped.
Sure, sure. Not their signature
move.
The
justice system isn't like huge on believing people who are raped.
No,
but
definitely not.
But it's a fun prank.
Thank you.
I think maybe we go as far as the email exchange and that's it. Yeah. That's fun.
Right?
I wonder if, well, no, this is for sure illegal. I was going to say you could take out the pro bono part and get him to send you $6,000. But that's definitely illegal.
Absolutely illegal.
That must be illegal.
I mean, if I get this
But
guidance,
is it illegal to be like a little stinker?
A fun little stinker.
I don't know.
What about if I get him to send a deposit of like $500 and then I send it back afterwards?
You're really flirting with that.
I think you should get him to do like send you something else that's not money, like a front-facing video or something.
A front-facing video would be so good.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Get him to send you a picture of his ween.
Yeah,
no, that's probably illegal too.
I know. God, I can't get away with anything fun.
Is it illegal? I don't know. Is it illegal to coerce someone? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's sexual. Yeah. I just immediately jumped to if this was a woman and I went, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Firing squad.
Yeah, that's bad.
I think a front facing video, I could be like, for the campaign, I think it'd be really, really good to try this person in the press and have him make some videos. Be like, I have an editor who can put together some videos of like, I'm so and so.
Did you make an email address?
Yes.
Yeah.
I get up to things in the night.
You're insane.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. What?
It's great.
Okay, so speaking of insane,
I get up to things in the night.
I'm always up to things in the night. I used to bike around in the middle of the night. Shout out to the pandemic.
Yeah. Now I was going insane the other day, so I bought a taxidermied alligator wearing a burlesque outfit.
It's so great, though.
Pretty cool.
Lizzie's doing her apartment now, and she is just buying kitschy, cute. You have
Dude,
a dog.
It's a zoo.
You've got a table that the body is a Dalmatian.
Yeah, it's like a dog butler table.
Oh, my God.
And I named it Larry the Table Guy.
It's...
Thank you. And so I'm going to have that. I'm going to have the taxidermied alligator. I have a lamp that's a cheetah. We're having fun.
It's going to be great. It's a beautiful apartment.
We're having a good time.
So speaking of insane, there's so many like vengeful things that women are doing on TikTok right now that I absolutely live for. And this one it's kind of a self-reflective one. And basically women confess things that were done to them and then they stayed in the relationship.
Yeah. It's crazy to me to like think about the mindset I was in when I stayed in these relationships.
Absolutely.
Because
nuts.
I so wouldn't do it now.
I know.
And one of mine is from like 6 months ago.
Yeah. During it, something happens to your brain and you're like, this is like, maybe like the.
But also that one, I think I was just like tired. I was like, I literally said to you, I was like, I don't have the emotional energy to break up with him, so I'm just going to stop talking to him for a week.
Yeah, I remember this. And I'm like, that's good.
So I didn't like stay,
that's
you know.
Fine.
But
I mean, a lot of the stuff, too, is like younger women who just haven't experienced like what abuse is.
Yeah.
And so they don't know the hallmark signs.
Yeah.
So like abuse is manipulative and you got manipulated because you were inexperienced. Like there's nothing shameful on the victim's end.
Yeah.
But there is something
But it is
so
funny
like,
once you get out of it.
What?
Yeah.
Were you smoking crack?
I mean, I famously let a man call me a rat bitch 3 times.
It is. It's true fame. True fame.
Third times. Call me a rat bitch twice. Shame on you. call me a rat bitch a third time. All right. All right.
Since you're pushing me out the door with your incredibly horrible behavior.
All right, fine. I'll go and find a man who's nice to me.
I mean, I think that is actually what does happen if you're someone who gets into abusive relationships. At one point, you go, it's too much.
It's just, I mean, what are we doing?
It's become too much.
It's just, what are we doing
I can't
here?
Be taken seriously.
Yeah.
If I'm crying over a polyamorous guy with a ponytail.
It's just, it's a lot.
I've got to have some self-respect. And within my community, I have to be respected.
Yeah.
It's simply.
And also, like, I'm just, like, so over this.
Yes.
You know? Like, the first time he calls you a rat bitch, it hurts your feelings. But the third time, it's like, what, are we going to keep playing that song?
You snap.
I'm bored.
You're like Jennifer Lopez in Enough. You snap. Yeah. You get a boxing coach.
It was also like, you know, the first time that happened with this guy, mm-hmm. I liked him. So I got like the anxiety of being like, I'm going to lose this person. And like, it was like very emotional. And the third time it happened, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like you just get to a point where it's like, I wasn't even affecting me emotionally.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is just what he does. And that's like, at that point, it's so much easier to be like, I must go.
you're on your phone. You see, you're like, that's crazy. Anyways, do you want to go to a diner or something?
Literally.
Like, yeah, yeah.
At this point, I just have to block you on everything and move on with my life.
Yeah. So I have a few. I have a few. I'll go to the beginning. Also, like a lot of these videos on TikTok are like, women are like, he pushed me into a fire in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Also, I just remembered something, by the way. Somebody, I don't remember who, I think it was Kara who writes in a lot, but she wrote into the Patreon of my other podcast, Close Calls, and was like, I want to see a photo of the guy who called Lizzie a rat bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And my other co-host, Kevin, past guest of the show, commented and was like, basically said something funny calling him ugly. And I would just like to the record to show that he was hot.
He was hot.
Because I can't be known as someone who let an
ugly guy,
man call me.
I know.
If on top of everything, this guy is ugly, do you know what I mean?
It's
like,
simply,
that's
won't do.
So humiliating.
Yeah, no, it is.
So like, I need everyone to know that he was hot because it's like, I wasn't letting
he
like
was
some,
hot and he had a big dick.
I wasn't letting like a four call me
no,
a rat bitch
no.
and being like, no, please don't leave. You know what I mean?
He even tricked me by proxy.
Yeah.
Because I was there.
You had dinner with him and you were like, I think rat bitch was an isolated incident.
I know. I know. And I should be put on the gavel for that.
Because he did the genius move of making fun of himself for
it. Of course.
Like, and we were all like, oh, look, he's self-aware and he's cute.
Yes. Well, this is something that abusers do where they do something crazy. And then they're like, oh my God, I was just being crazy. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's unthinkable. And then, like clockwork,
yeah,
you're getting called
like clockwork, they send you a realistic pig emoji. There's the cute face pig.
Oh,
not that one.
No.
The realistic side view
pig emoji. The one with the body.
Emoji.
Yeah. The one with the body is.
The one with the body.
Is tough.
And my question is, if I'm such a, I might have said this on the podcast already, but if I'm such a fucking pig, how come you couldn't hold your cum?
Yeah, exactly. I concur. I should be a lawyer for us as well to press charges against these fucking nightmares.
I mean, it's just like, what are we doing?
So one of my early ones. So speaking of, I did let a four ruin my life.
And I have.
Sure.
But at my big age, it can't be the narrative.
We need better spin on this.
Yeah.
We can't have this be our press relationship.
Yeah.
We cannot be front facing with this. But my first boyfriend, he was a redhead.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Light eyelashes, which is a big distinction.
Yeah.
There's like a dark redhead that
hot.
Is hot. And then there's the ginger.
I know. This is really mean, though.
Yeah, I know. But wait, this man was horrible. He wore like button-down shirts, navy blue.
Anybody can be hot if they dress well
and are nice.
Redheads,
though, they're either smoking hot or
yeah,
a nightmare.
Unsavable.
Yeah.
Also, honestly, I fear that's people.
Typically not savable.
Red is tough.
Yeah.
Red's a red tough, is tough one.
I know some hot redhead guys, though.
Of course. But this guy wasn't. And that's okay. Because I liked his goofy personality.
Right.
And his wacky antics.
Yeah.
He was a fucking weirdo. He also grew the red hair into a ponytail.
I mean, it's just like.
And he put fucking gel in it.
Yeah, that makes me sick.
I know. So the
also people always get on us for like fucking talking about these dudes' appearances and the way they act like we're the bad guys. We fucked them.
Yes.
We are literally not the bad guys. We are, if you're so mad that women think that these guys are ugly, we're the women who fuck them.
I'm sucking you off.
We're the nice ones.
I'm sucking off a guy with a gel ponytail. And by the way, it wasn't like a top notch, which would have been disgusting also. It was a low ponytail.
I knew it was low. It
was, which is sucking.
Was it like one curl?
Yes.
You know when it's one curl?
Yes, I do.
That's so fucked.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up.
That's okay? One curl is so fucking gross.
And he smelled weird. I moved in with this guy. Also, like,
yeah.
My mom came to visit me. This was in college. And she saw that I moved in with this guy. And her spirit died a little bit.
You know what's bad when your mom, who all she wants is for you to pop out a kid, is like, I mean, absolutely yuck.
What is this?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I moved in with him, and both my parents were just like, yeah, I mean, if you're happy.
Yeah.
So he, early on in the relationship, I also found the pickup artist book, The Game, in his apartment.
I found that in my ex-boyfriend's apartment. And he told me he was, and it's the one you know.
Yeah.
And he told me he was reading it so he could write a joke about it. And I was like, no, you're not.
That's when people have CP and they pretend that they're going to write a book about predators.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
You know, that's like when people have CP.
You know, there was a famous guy who had it.
You mean when people who get caught having CP.
Right, yeah, right, right.
You said it like it was like, you know how 1 in 10 people you meet have CP and they're like, I'm trying to catch a predator.
One of my ex-boyfriends, he had CP, and I said, he's writing a book.
Yeah, what is CP? It's child pornography, porn. Ronnie.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
God, are you
I
not?
I didn't know what CP was either.
Sorry, I'm out of touch.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the forums.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty deep in the catching people with CP algorithm. It really gets me going. I really like Justice. I don't know if you've noticed that about me.
One time my therapist told me that my life would be much better if I let go of my need for justice.
Dude, same.
And I was like, relax.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, play. Look yeah. at us.
Dude, my need for justice just drives me to places. I'm writing fake emails to a guy I don't even know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't even know this guy.
Potentially, in turn, breaking the law.
Yes.
It's so funny that like I'm driven by like vengeance and justice and fairness. And then I like didn't tell the police I got raped.
Well, I mean, that's just no one's going to believe
you. It's funny. Nobody, you guys laugh.
I'm laughing. Everybody laugh at Lizzie's rape allegations. Everybody laugh.
Wait, you said Lizzie's rape allegations.
Sorry, Lizzie's rape. Sorry, Lizzie's rape.
I have not been.
Lizzie, I wasn't there, okay? I don't know both sides of it.
I've not been accused that we know of.
Okay, so this fucking pickup artist guy, he also was like obsessed with lucid dreaming, which is super lame. And like he was reading all these spiritual books. All right, ponytail, spiritual books, all this stuff is not even the main thing. So early on in my relationship, he said to me, you are a 4 when you don't try. And you are a 6 when you try.
Ugh.
And I was like, I love this guy. I'm no notes.
And you were like, a 6?
Oh my, in New York, a 6 is like an 8 in other places.
A 6?
Wow, yes. Oh my God. Is Mike about to be like, yeah, that's right.
No, no, you liked him saying that?
No, I just.
No, we. She put
I
up
stayed.
With it.
I heard it, and instead of being like.
I'm saying your brain does the thing. You know when, like, something bad happens and your brain makes it okay?
Of course.
Your brain does the thing where it goes, a 6.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm a 6.
And, you know, if I tried harder, I could, like, make it to 8, maybe.
Yeah.
This guy was a straight 3.
Yeah.
Across the board. People were like, whoa, that's your girlfriend? Like,
yeah.
It was just. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it. He then, like, we were clearly breaking up. He was moving out of the city. And because he was graduating college, I was like a few years younger than him. We were both college age. And he tried to break up with me. Oh, I'm sorry. No, there's another one. There's another one. I told him I loved him and he said it back. And then a week later was like, I actually take it back.
I mean, like,
nice.
That's crazy.
Big pimping up in NYC. And again,
you told him you loved him.
I told him I loved him.
You fucking moron.
I'm a moron freak abuse victim.
You told a guy with a curly ponytail that you loved him.
All right, rat bitch. Let's maybe hold the judgment back.
No, I mean, I do it too. But it's just like, what are we doing?
It's moron shit.
And my point is, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
But it's like when these guys who don't deserve you but still aren't giving you attention, you'll do anything. So you'll be like, I love you.
Will that make you stay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's abandonment issues and like addict brain together. Name a more iconic duo.
This is why I don't say it first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's smart. Yeah. I always I said it first twice.
Because I only like in the past, I mean, with my boyfriend now I knew, but like in the past I've only like sometimes they'll say it and all of a sudden like there is a voice in my brain that'll be like, you don't love him.
Yeah, you of course.
Don't, but I don't know it until they say it.
Yeah.
So every time I've said it first, it's coming from a place of me being like, I love you, don't go.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're in that place, you'll do, depending on how fucked up you are, you'll do things that you can't sleep at night knowing that you did.
Yeah.
I let a three take back the I love you.
And you went, okay.
Okay. Well, maybe next round.
Yeah.
And then he was moving out with, and we hadn't really discussed breaking up. And then he goes like, you know, maybe for the next few months where we're living together, we could like break up and then take turns like sleeping on the couch. If the other one, we lived in the same bedroom. If the other one like wants to bring someone home.
Oh my God.
And I was like, at this point I was like, no, we're staying together. That wasn't my angle. My angle wasn't like, no, we won't do this.
You're like, no, you can't fuck other bitches in my bed.
No, but we will be together.
Yeah.
We will stay together for the baby, which I was pregnant at the time. So this guy was like, I want to bang other hoes while my pregnant girlfriend sleeps on the couch.
Yeah.
Great. And then I scheduled the Planned Parenthood. I was, by the way, in college. So I was like fully just like going to class, throwing up everywhere, like being very sorry, pro-lifers that listen to this podcast, but the baby's head was getting fully formed. I was really pushing the envelope of legally getting it done.
Yeah, they actually had to kill it after they took it out.
Yeah. They gave it to me and I snuffed the life out of it.
They had to put a pillow over its face.
I saw its little red ponytail and I just absolutely threw it against a wall. But I made the appointment of Planned Parenthood. I was taking care of it. He was off, I don't know, doing DMT and pretending that he was having a spiritual awakening.
He was trying to have sex with other women and it wasn't working.
100%. Yeah, he got a rude awakening about all the actual fours that were he was going to bang. But I got the appointment date wrong, so he couldn't come with me because he would have already been, like, by the time the actual appointment happened, he would have been in a different city.
Yeah.
So I went to Planned Parenthood by myself.
Yeah.
Got an abortion, took the train back to my apartment, and sat in my room just waiting for him to call.
Yeah.
Did he ever call?
No.
No. Did I call him and go, hey?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And weeks later, I missed this guy, you know? Like, I was, like, wandering around New York by myself being like, I miss him.
Yeah, but you just missed having a boyfriend.
Yes, because I was terrified to be alone.
Yeah.
Your Honor.
My first boyfriend was in his 20s. I was in high school.
Love it.
Slay. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of really fucked up shit, including having a girlfriend.
You?
Not me.
Yeah, I was a second girlfriend.
Not me. He had a full ass other girlfriend, and he would take photos. He would have me take a photo of him, and then he would like have me send it to her. And he was like, "She's my friend."
God, damn
like weird
it.
Shit like that. But yeah. He did throw a blender at me, ducked it.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. And I was like, Babe,
stop.
Babe, we can figure this out, you know? And then he asked me to marry him, and I said yes. And then it came to light that this girlfriend was his girlfriend.
Yeah.
and he had to break up with me.
Oh, God. When your abuser breaks up with
like,
you.
Like, I was like, okay, well, I'm your fiance, so obviously you're going to pick me. And he was like, I mean, no, dude.
Oh, God.
Like, it's never been you. And I was like, okay.
I mean, you were good target practice.
Okay, cool.
Blender practice.
Yeah. I mean, he also did, like, fully beat the shit out of me, but that's not funny.
He would... Okay. And I was like, this guy called me a four. You really came in with the heavy hitters.
I got a few in.
What was the pre-blender?
I hit him back. I got a few good ones in.
You got a few undercuts in there.
I gave him a couple.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these TikTok ones are women talking about, like, being abused. Yeah. And everyone's like, why would you stay?
This is kind of funny to me, but it's not funny. But it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. Mm-hmm. One time we were like, he lived in like frat house kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there was a party upstairs and his room was downstairs. And we like were at the party and we were kind of fucked up. And I went to go downstairs. I think we were leaving and he pushed me down the stairs.
That is kind of funny.
And then, well, that wasn't the funny part. Fully pushed me down the stairs. And then I was lying at the bottom of the stairs and he stood over me and was like, I can't believe you would do that in front of my friends. That's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was too drunk and I fell.
Yeah. 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 Diabolical.
And I was like, sorry, honey.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
But I know I would find a way. It's weird. Yeah. I used to go to, like, a 12-step program for people who are fucked up. And one of the things that stuck with me was, like, people who have bad relationship models, whether it be from their parents or whatever, their brain finds a way to like make it okay because you're like a kid. So like you've created this little machine.
This is also my first boyfriend.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and you have no experience dealing, like, abuse is just like a huge, big adult thing.
Yeah.
So your brain is just like, let's find a way to make this okay.
Yeah.
Cause this is so crazy that I can't imagine.
And it's also like he did like the whole love bombing thing. And like, when your only relationship model, like romantic relationship model, is TV and movies, that's how fast things move.
Of course.
In those.
You're going to Italy.
So like, when 2 weeks in, he tells you he's in love with you, you're like, right.
Yeah.
Natch.
Obviously. When are we going to Paris, babe?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when he proposes to you, you go, totally.
Do you have the ring?
No. So what happened was he gave me like a family heirloom ring that was a wedding ring, not an engagement ring.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that we weren't going to get married. There was like a part of me that I didn't want to speak to that knew. So I was like, give me this on our wedding day. And just buy like a shitty engagement ring. And I'll keep that until we get married. But I also wasn't wearing it because my parents didn't know.
Right.
But I would wear it like when we hung out, you know. And we would get in fights and he would like shove me to the ground. And I'd throw the ring at him and then he'd be like asleep and I'd have to like crawl around and find it.
Oh my God. This is like a horror movie.
It is like college bedroom with like a flag hanging on the wall. It was like a nightmare. I'd have to like crawl around in like his dirty underwear and be like, here's my little Walmart ring.
Oh.
Like cubic zirconium.
It's like a horror movie where someone's legs don't work.
Yeah.
And they just have to pull themselves across the floor. Oh my God.
And so when we broke up, I like threw the ring off a bridge and I was so mad that I didn't keep his like special like grandmother's ring.
Well, that's what I was saying, that like that's nice of you to not let him give you that grandmother's ring.
Yeah.
Like that's like generous.
Yeah.
You should have like smelted it down and made it into grills or something.
I know. I should have fucking killed him.
Well, press charges. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably press charges.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I told my parents I fell off a horse.
Oh, God. Well, mine are going to pale in comparison.
But there's other ones that are funny. Do you remember this time last year when I let someone look me in the eye and tell me that they couldn't figure out if I was worth not fucking other people?
Yeah, that was
tough. I went, well, I'll give you some time to figure that out.
Well, let me prove it.
Let me give you a minute to figure that out.
That's
crazy.
I can blow you while
that's
you decide.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then that same person didn't speak to me for 3 days because they were going to break up with me. And so I was like, okay, I'm meeting you at your office.
Yeah.
And then I showed up and I was like, so what's going on? And they were like, well, you tell me you wanted to meet me. And I was like,
oh, fuck you.
And I was like, I was like, well, you didn't speak to me for 3 days. And they were like, right, so you're breaking up with me. And I went, I don't know. And they went, well, you should be.
What?
And I was like, yeah, I know.
again, it's like the shitty person being like, you gotta respect yourself, girl. I know what I'm doing.
It's like crazy.
I remember also when whatever, God, still respecting this fucking person's pronouns.
I know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
when left you on red for 3 days, I was sitting in my own diaper being furious about it, and I was thinking about leaving someone on red for 3 days. I was thinking about when we had
the person you're dating,
right
person, not like someone you've been on a few dates with.
Whether he wanted to admit it or not, you guys were, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, they friend. But I was like thinking about the time when people had phones in their homes, and they just had to like wait for someone to call them back or like leave a message. I know. How did we survive that? But so I was thinking, it's like, this is the equivalent of just making you, it's worse, but it's like making you wait by the phone for 3 fucking days.
Yeah.
How can you pretend you care about someone when you know how insane that makes someone feel?
Also, just sack up and break up with me.
Oh my God.
I mean, like,
God.
What are we talking about here?
I mean, this is the classic, like, wear you down until you do it, which brings me to.
And then I still made them do it.
Which is good, honestly good for you.
But I was like, if you're going to break up with me, like, you can't, like, ghost me.
No.
We're dating.
You have to do this.
Also, you've already broken up with me once. You know how.
I wasn't going to admit that one because I wanted you to do it. Yeah, but.
Simply, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the more humiliating ones that making me break up with them was I dated a furry.
Yeah.
The fetish was animal transformation fetish, which is very bestiality adjacent. Ugh. I did bestiality play with someone. That's how lonely I was.
I mean, that's like so horrible.
It's fucking humiliating. And I spent my own money.
Also, you didn't do bestiality. You didn't like fuck a dog.
I didn't fuck a dog. You're right. Let's get that on the record. No actual animals. But
no animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
The fetish is like, that you're transforming from a human to an animal, and the transformation, you're like overwhelmed by like, oh, I'm turning into a sexy
fox. And then you're like getting fucked while it happens. Yes. Like,
it's like kind of like, oh, you can't control. There's something. I mean,
do you think that guy busts when he watches Twilight
or Animorphs? It's Animorphs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wear fur and used to wear more fur. So I would like put on a fur jacket. I would put a butt plug with a fur tail, which was actually just a part of a vest my mom gave me.
Oh,
it was the collar. So I took the collar that my mommy gave me. I strapped it to a butt plug. I gave myself a fake tail. I bought fur whips.
Did you make animal noises?
I did not make animal noises. And I also want that to be stated on the record that I did not make animal noises.
I mean, the animal, it's just like.
I never. Fuck me.
Yeah. Gross.
But.
You're like a pug. Yeah. Fun.
But I like. In my sicko mind was like, and this is something that happens, I think, often. I'm doing your insane fetish that's like so crazy.
You'll never leave me. Yeah. I was talking to my boyfriend about this because we heard a rumor that somebody we know had a micropenis. But this guy like fucks hot girls and dates hot girls.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to my boyfriend that like these hot girls, because he's a hot guy.
Yeah.
These hot girls find a hot guy who has a micro penis and they go, he'll never leave me.
Yep.
But that's happened to him so many times that he does, in fact, leave them.
Yes. I got ghosted by a guy with a micro penis. The last text I sent him was a picture of my tits in a bathroom and then nothing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
amazing.
It was so small. It didn't even hit, not even close to hitting the back.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It was humiliating. And during our conversations, I was like, you know, sometimes guys like pretend that they're interested just because they like think someone's a slut. So they know that they can fuck them. And that's like exactly what was being done.
Yeah. I dated another guy, the one that, you know, and we were both alcoholics. So we both like gained weight while we were together because we were like enabling each other to drink all the time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have sex for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, why won't you fuck me? And he goes, you don't look like you did when we started dating. And I went, all right, we can stay together.
Let's stay together.
together.
He said, I'm not attracted to you.
Love it.
Great.
Let's stay together.
Awesome. Awesome.
Loving you forever.
Can you imagine looking your partner in the eye and being like, I just think you're ugly.
It's so mean. It's so mean. It's mean. Crazy.
Also, like, then you break up with me.
Yes.
And lie.
Yeah. For the love of God,
say
lie.
Say that we've grown apart.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about?
Say that you're going to rehab. Something. Yeah. Anything.
That's so, what I do.
Love that. I say I'm having a problem with my bipolar. Ronnie?
I say I relapsed.
Use that.
Yep.
Love
absolutely.
It.
I say I relapsed and I need to be alone for a while.
I use relapse too. Ugh, love it. No, nothing better. When someone ghosted me once for 3 weeks, I then ghosted him proportionally 3 months. I marked it on my calendar and I was like, I'm going to tell him I relapsed and then make him wait 3 months. And I was like, look at me having self-esteem.
Yeah, but nope. Also, you shouldn't have told him you relapsed. You should have just ghosted him.
I know. I still wanted to fuck him.
I know.
The furry, by the way, started a second relationship. Yeah. And I know this is not nice. The girl was so busted that it was like...
She was making the noises.
What? She was making the noises. Yeah. Her name was Marsha.
Marsha was making the noises.
Marsha was barking. Marsha was howling.
Yeah.
Marsha was an Afghan hound. She actually did kind of look like an Afghan hound.
Right. Long hair.
She wore trench coats. And I was like, okay. And then he brought her to a show of mine as his date. And I was like, maybe we can
there's
an open thing.
There's a guy who comes to a lot of my shows who looks like the person who left me on red for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And every time I don't notice him until I'm on stage. And then when I'm on stage, I go, oh, fuck. Because I can't tell, like, with the spotlight and everything, if it is that person or not.
Oh, my God.
But now the guy's come to enough shows that I'm like, I know that it's him, you know?
There's a woman who looks exactly like my dad's wife.
Yeah.
Who had an affair. And every time I see her, I'm like, bull! Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the furry, again, tried to make us into a tripod. I actually did break up with him, but, like, I just didn't. We were together for a year.
Yeah, but like you like to think you're the kind of person who would stop at tail.
Yeah, and I did.
But unfortunately, you're not.
No.
And neither am I.
No. I got a hotel room. I put so much. I worked in fashion at the time.
Oh, my God. The guy who called me a rat bitch, I would get us hotel rooms all the time because he lived with his fucking... Never mind. It doesn't matter. He had a bad living situation, and so did I. So I would spend money on hotel... He owes me money.
Yes. There should be concierges when you book a room, and they should be like... just a quick.
It should be a social worker.
Just a few questions.
Yeah.
I see that you came with a rolling suitcase filled with fur outfits.
Dude, my boyfriend and I now like have this plan to get a hotel room and just tell everyone we went out of town because we can't afford to go out of town.
Yeah.
But like we want to like be alone for a weekend. And it's like there are like 21 hotels in Manhattan that I simply can't go to anymore. Yes.
I visited like, you in a few of them.
I just can't go to them anymore.
Yeah. When you're in New York for a long time, there's bombs everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's where I told the guy he loved me. I loved him and he said, not sure. That's when a guy that I dated, I went to his show and then he date raped me afterwards and I still stayed with him.
Yeah.
That's like, it's just like a haunted house.
Yeah.
Do we have time to do one more each?
Yeah, I'm trying. I had another one. I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah, I want to take. We do a little break. Let's take a little break, Steez.
We can do a little breaky poo,
and then we're gonna get Mike on Mike because Mike is
Mike on Mike.
Mike on Mike is a girly with low self esteem, just like us. And I'm very excited to hear some of your. I still stayed. You maybe had one of the most legendary drag down relationships.
Yeah, I sure did.
It's probably worse than maybe some girls that I know, which is. Kind of iconic.
Yeah. Mike, a real girl's girl.
Yeah.
Will be abused.
Will be abused and simply will stay.
Yeah.
But we'll be right back. And we're back, boys and girls. Mike Coscarelli, producer extraordinaire, comedian, a host of his own podcast.
Fan of Chinese food and blowjobs.
Yes.
Famously.
I hold the gavel. So, Mike... Do you have any, well, you had a long-term girlfriend that everyone in your life wanted to throw into the river at some point because you stayed with her and she was not very nice to you. Do you have a few examples from this happened, I still stayed?
Do I have a few?
Yeah.
I mean, I have 5 years worth.
Yeah, let's
give starting, us the highlight
starting
reel.
Starting from
like,
almost minute one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if the audience knows really anything. I think we told some of these stories on Hot Mess back in the day. But
yeah, I was documenting this entire process.
Yeah. Essentially, we met, we were long distance for a while because I went on Guys We Fucked before I was working on Guys We Fucked.
Yeah.
And she was a fan of the show, reached out to me, we started flirting, and it kind of became this like, this girl's in LA, but maybe there's something here, whatever, she's really cute. And then one day, eventually, she was like, I'm going to come to New York for, you know, a weekend, and let's hang out.
I met her at one of my comedy shows, I think.
That was a different time she came to New York, but we were still long distance during that.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And she, we have this like sprawling weekend together. It's very like a dream.
Love,
you know?
love
a sprawling weekend.
Yeah. We literally, it's just like we're all.
You'll
over
pay
New York.
Later.
Yeah, we're going. To
if
dinner.
You ever have a sprawling weekend with someone, they probably have something going on that's not great.
You're getting a blender thrown at you if you have a sprawling weekend.
So bad. Yeah. So really, it's just like a wonderful weekend, and then. She kind of, after she leaves, we kind of make the decision like, oh, well, she wants to come to New York at some point, like be here. So then we can be in this long distance relationship because it's sort of a means to an end.
Yeah.
And eventually she works up the nerve to come.
Mm-hmm.
And she stays here for, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. She's kind of living with me while she's getting herself on her feet and figuring everything out. And I was like, there's no rush. You know, I'm not saying that, like, we have to live together right now or anything. But, like, don't feel like you're invading my space or anything. Like, take your time getting yourself together. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to help her find a job. I think she was 20.
First mistake.
Yeah.
There's no rush.
No, well, yeah. This
and,
is
like, I get it.
Boy, have I been like, it's casual. While I'm in a room at my house being like, I'm in love with you. I'm so in love with you.
So she's there for about maybe 2.5 weeks. And I come home from whatever I was doing one day. And she's like, you know, I think I'm going to go back to California for like a weekend. I'm kind of homesick. And I'm going to like go see my sister and my parents and stuff. And I'll come back after the weekend. And I was like, okay. Like, I knew she was kind of going through that. She was, like I said, she was like 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. I was 25, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, no problem. Do whatever makes you feel comfortable. And I wake up the next day, and she has packed everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything she owns. She came with, like, 2 suitcases maybe, like a couple little things here and there. Everything was packed.
Yeah.
And
you're like, must be a busy weekend.
Yeah, right.
Need a lot of outfits.
Yeah, I was like, this seems like a bit overpacking to go home for the weekend. So, of course, she goes back, and we're kind of talking throughout the whole time. But the minute she left, I was like, she's not coming back.
Yeah.
So she goes, and we're talking, and the weekend becomes like, well, I think I'm gonna just going to stay till the week, end of the week. Because it's like, I don't have a job, so, like, what's the point? Like, I'll just kind of, like, my sister's home. Well, I'll come back.
And you're like,
week.
I'm the point.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. And she kept saying that. She's like, I don't really have any, like she was kept alluding to the fact that she didn't have any reason to come back to New York. And I was like, Lizzie just said, I was like, well, you know, I'm here.
I'm a person, but whatever.
Yeah.
So a week turns into 2 weeks, and that turns into, like, a conversation where I was just like, listen, are you coming back here or not? And she was like, well, I want to spend the summer here and then come back.
That's also leaving you on red. That's also, like, a version of leaving you on red for months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we'll see.
Yeah. So she doesn't come back. And then eventually she actually does come back at the end of the summer, but we had broken up.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, I definitely was in love with her.
Oh,
so in my mind, I'm like, well, if she's here, we have to be together.
Yeah.
And I throw myself at her when she comes back. And
you were DB. You were down bad, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that starts this whole, like, 4-month process of like she's like, I want to get back together with you, but I want to finish out the year like getting settled here in New York. I don't want to see you. But she's like, but we're together. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just totally kinda, like, went with it.
Totally.
And like, we would talk every day, text, but she would not see me.
Because, well, she's trying to bang other guys.
She said she didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know? Sorry to break it to you.
Well, maybe.
I think she was doing the thing where like, a lot of people keep you as an option.
Yeah.
I've been an option for sure.
Yeah.
And you know when you're the option.
And she couldn't hang out with you because she felt it when she was in, when she was with you.
Yeah. Right. Of guilt.
Like before I broke up with Rat Bitch Guy, which this is not the same thing, but before I actually broke up with him, I did that where I was like, yeah, I just can't talk to you for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after like 2 weeks, he was like, are we together? And I was like, no.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did I forget to break up with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God. It's been so busy. My friend's in the hospital. Oh, I'm breaking up with you. Sorry. Yeah.
I am breaking up.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have broken up with you.
In my mind. Already.
It's done. Yeah. You're toast.
No, you definitely break up with people in your mind.
Yeah.
You go, oh, fuck, I gotta break up with them now. Yeah. But like, you're out. You're absolutely out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She also. Didn't she say she would come back at some point and she like didn't get on the plane?
Well, that was what I was getting to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
So we eventually we're eventually together.
Right.
But then
earned it.
She did. Eventually we're like quote unquote together.
Yeah.
And then she goes back to California for the holidays.
Sure.
And she that's when the first time she was like, I don't know if I'm gonna come back. And I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, of course.
I just spent 4 months sitting here waiting for you, texting you back every single day.
Yeah.
You refuse to see me. And now, like, we have this plan that we're going to be together now that the year is over. And it's like, are you fucking coming back or not? Like, what? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
So eventually she makes a decision in February to come back. And we had gotten to the place where we talked about it. And that's when we decided we were going to, like, live together.
Yeah.
And
good.
Yeah.
Basically every year from that point on, there was like 4 more years, give or take, of us being together. She'd go home for the holidays.
This was a tough time as a friend of Mike Coscarelli.
4 more years.
Yeah.
She wasn't sure if she was going to come back. So every time she went home for the holidays, like December 1st for the whole month to go back to California,
and you just have to be like sweating.
Yeah, you're in agony.
I was like, maybe I'll have a girlfriend again in January. I don't know. And it was years of this. And that was just the first thing. I mean, like, that's just the tip of the iceberg in this relationship.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, I was so pot committed and I had talked myself into thinking that this was like a destiny sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just kept fucking going for it.
Well, also, guys, I think are often the chase is something that's beaten into you guys as well. Like Lizzie's example earlier, where it's like, this is how romance happens.
Yeah.
A man's so passionate that he like tells you he loves you.
Yeah, and she's not in love with me. She's like not. She's different.
She's complicated.
Right. Right.
And so
this is just the way the story is going to happen.
Right.
To
exactly.
Well, and this is the thing. I have Ronnie. Ronnie has come in here so many times. Not as much lately, but like early on when Ronnie was like kicking around the studio for a little bit, she'd come in and she would tell sort of not similar stories that this person was like flying across the country and not coming back. But Ronnie had similar sort of like there were things that were happening where she would tell me about it. I'm like, Ronnie, please let me be the cautionary tale.
Yeah.
That like when it feels like this, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It never works. I mean, you have to go through it. Like you have to be. I was only a couple years older than Ronnie when I went through it. So that was how I learned.
The gift of desperation, my friend.
God. I mean, like you go through it and then that sets the standard for what you're willing to take.
Yeah.
And
sure.
If you don't get out of it at that time, you're done.
They know.
The scales have been tipped and they can get away with whatever they want.
Yeah.
And this is not a person that I think ever like cheated on me that I know of, really. We had some like periods where we were like on again and off again, but I mean, there were so many occasions where it was just like flagrant. I don't really care. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like you can come with me or not. And I was just, you know,
Well, there's also like,
it's so embarrassing when you're the person, like, it feels so embarrassing.
The royal
when you're the person who, like, this other person has realized they can do literally whatever they want.
Yeah.
And you'll, like, it's like, and you can feel it and they can feel it. And it's so embarrassing.
Well, and you just, like, the whole time I wanted the bare minimum, really. That's how it felt to me. Like, I just wanted this person to, like,
an in-state girlfriend who saw you in person.
Yeah, well, that. Yeah. And just somebody that was, like somewhat reasonable.
Yeah.
Like this is, tells me where they're at. So it's not just, like, I'm on the fucking balls of my feet, or whatever the expression is.
Yeah. The edge of your...
The whole time.
Your balls and advice. Yeah.
The irony is, like, we've like talked since we have broken up. It's not at this point. It's like I don't think I'll ever speak to her again. But like the last time we talked, she had been kind of like, she had broken up with another dude after me, and she's telling me how she's like I'm converting to like Judaism for him.
Whoa.
And I was like, you're doing all this. And you wouldn't even just, like, let me know if you were coming back to New York.
Yeah.
That entire time we were together. Like, do you not see how fucked up this is?
Well, you feel like a putz. You know? I mean,
yeah.
We've had, there's a person that in my life who's kind of going through this right now. And you just have to sit down and be like, they're never going to give you what.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep. Ever. Like, I don't know how else to play this out for you. Never. And at the end of this, there's going to be a series of disrespects that you will just be haunted
by. And once you're out of it, it's so clear.
And obvious. Yeah, like, for sure.
The person who, like, told me to my face that they couldn't figure out if I was worth not fucking other people, that person never wanted to be my partner.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But they were nice to me other than that.
Yeah.
So I was able to trick myself.
Yeah.
But then once you get out of it, you're like...
Yeah.
But it's and it's just
they
like
told me.
It's also the investment of time, which is so aggravating.
Sunken cost fallacy, buddy.
Yeah, and we just had like with this person, with this woman, I had, you know, in this conversation where I was finding out about her converting to Judaism, which I still laugh about today. That's just like the audacity that somebody had enough of a hold on you to make you convert your fucking religion.
Yeah.
And you literally couldn't even like show me the basic decency throughout our relationship. It just was flabbergasting. But like I asked her point blank because it was kind of like it kind of felt like the conversation we were having in some ways was kind of like a settling of old debts.
Mm-hmm.
Like just kind of like figuring out like.
I never have those, by the way. I just never talked to that person again.
Well, I shouldn't have. It didn't end up being good for me.
Yeah.
Because I asked her point blank. I was like, listen, like I loved you so much. And you were like, I just envisioned a life with you and thought that this, like in my mind when we were together, there was no other person.
Yeah.
That I could have imagined. Like, I just thought this was it.
I mean, I remember. You know?
But and I asked her point blank. I was like, did you love me?
Whoa.
And she was like, I mean, I think. I was it's fucking devastating.
It's
you know?
Horrible thing.
Yeah.
Lie.
Yeah, man. You just like.
Just be like, of course I did.
It just didn't work out. I was too young. I was confused.
Yeah.
That could have been what was said.
Yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So it's just like your fucking guts get wrenched out. And now we're talking about 8 years of a saga. This whole, you know.
Years.
And obviously, like, the back end of that, after we broke up, there was a little bit of time that where I had to, like, really get over this person. And I think last summer when we talked again and kind of, like, reconnected a little bit, like – it was a shorter version of that because I think I was more equipped to be like, this is still not going to be like, I gave her the benefit of the doubt going in where I was like, all right, it's been a few years. She's about to be 30.
Yeah.
Like maybe we're just at a place now where like she's more mature and maybe this is what we needed, like time and to go away and come back together. And it just immediately felt exactly the same.
This is another thing that has been helpful to me as I've like let these, as I've been sucked into these cycles, I see these people on the other side. I'm like, you're going to do this to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be another Andrea Allen who will put up with your shit.
Yeah.
And it's not me, babe.
Yeah.
And that's a big failing.
Yeah.
But it's humiliating to have been like, all right, it took 17 rounds over a period of 10 years.
Yeah.
Wait, before we close this out, Ronnie, do you have something you stayed for? Ronnie.
I feel like I've told you guys a little bit about the situation, but essentially I was in love with a 30-year-old polyamorous sociopath.
Ronnie.
I know. Yes.
I've grown. Ronnie.
No longer. Mm-hmm. I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to
get
it.
Ronnie was marching down the Mike Coscarelli path.
Yeah. And he had Mike Coscarelli at the end going, what are you doing?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's tough when you start to see. Because this is the thing. Having lived through it now, you hope that you're smart enough to see it.
You hope, yourself, but then you get called a rat bitch. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, so what? You were...
Do you have a little example?
You gave us your soul to a polyamorous god.
Yeah, I guess you're asking of like...
Was there something she said or did? And you were like, okay.
How about... Yeah. Where to begin?
Yeah.
I invited me to go to Pride with her and her sibling and their wife. And we all spent the whole day together. And then afterwards, I was like, so that was like pretty, you know.
Right.
And she was like, oh, no, we're not dating. And I was like, right.
Okay. The wife?
No.
Oh,
no,
the lady. Said that
yeah.
You guys aren't
yeah.
dating.
And I was just kind of like, okay.
Well, I met your family, so.
Yeah, I just spent Pride with your family.
Right.
Yeah.
We cried it tears sucks. Of joy together.
It sucks so hard when you consider, and I'm not saying you did this, but I've done this, when you consider being polyamorous for someone
and then
they won't
God.
Date you.
You guys.
You're like, I don't even believe in that.
Yeah. You
know. And I considered it. This person the person I was just talking about who like wanted to fuck other people, I was like, maybe.
Right.
Maybe we can do that.
Yeah. You didn't even make it to the primary spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You were in the second tab.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
Ronald.
This is just
so
like
brutal.
A room full of fucking worms.
Yeah.
Like just people that are just like, oh God.
Wait, I'm not a worm.
Wait, hold on.
It worked out for you. Yeah, I guess you have. Well, no, I don't know. I guess you learned early. But
no,
like,
I don't think I learned early at all. No? I think I turned 30
was
and was like
guy?
Enough. Huh?
When was redheaded guy?
Oh,
that was early,
18.
But there were ones after.
There were ones after.
All right, fair.
Yeah, I dated a rapist who got me pregnant after 25. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right, fine,
but I don't
take
think.
Yeah.
I don't think we're worms. I think they're worms.
Yeah.
And they're just
the
good at manipulating people.
No, but I meant
and we're
worms.
Nice.
Just like the to me a worm is like. The embarrassed part.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know exactly like, what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, and I constantly feel, because like this was the worst, this was like the top of the mountain for me,
sure,
this woman,
yeah.
But like I've had other times certainly where I've just been like, oh, great. This didn't work out the way that I was expecting, even remotely close, you know?
The wake up call is always polyamory or something like. That's just so not who you are.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a sex
a
thing.
Furry.
A sex thing, or like you have to go to like, like a play. You have to go to like a bad play.
Oh my God. You have to go to their
and
band.
And say it's good.
Yes.
And you're like, this is not who I am.
Yeah, you have to go to a shitty band and be like, I love noise music, actually.
Yeah.
You know what? I love that you had a show in your apartment because it's like DIY.
Yeah.
And so it was lightly attended.
Yeah, when you find yourself being like, I would live with your dad.
Yeah. Right?
We could live with your dad.
Do you want to hear one more?
Yeah.
Let's do it, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Okay, so she like had this boyfriend and this like weird.
Oh, a polyamorous
weird,
with a boyfriend.
Yeah, this like really, really weird, creepy guy.
So she swung both ways?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good luck.
And
babe.
I'm going to a concert with my friends. She's going to the same concert with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like literally, for the love of God, please don't let me run into them.
Yeah.
And then she texts me afterwards being like, why don't you text me? I was like,
because you were with your boyfriend, you whore.
Yeah. I know.
Because I was crying in the rain walking home from this concert,
right.
which
yeah.
I've also done.
Why didn't I text you? Because I'm in love with you.
Yeah. This man
you
was like 45
psycho.
Years old and I was like 22. So
great.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Love it.
I don't know.
Did you consider breaking it off then? Or how long did you stay afterwards? How long did you stay for, Ronnie?
Months.
Yeah.
Did you end up breaking it off, or
no.
did it just
More than
end?
Six?
Oh.
It just ended.
Yeah. More than
it was
6 months?
It just, we were in this like weird emotional affair for like.
Yeah,
because
you
year.
Weren't like together.
No, we
so
were never
that,
like
those
together.
Things go on the longest.
Yeah.
Also,
so, if
you're like, well, we're not together. You're not together.
Yeah,
you know what
together.
I mean?
Yeah.
If you're using the word together, get
you're not together.
The
yeah.
fuck. Out of
here. If you're using the word together, they're just not that into you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, see, all these shorthands, it's kind of like AA has like little shorthands. There's so many dating ones where you're like, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
literally right there as a catchphrase because it's so common. Yeah. But like, and now we have all the, we have like love bombing and breadcrumbing. Like us hoes are coming up with lexicons so that we can like be like, so you know how we talked about that phrase when bad things were happening?
Yeah.
What it's you, happening. It's happening to you
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss, Ronald.
No, literally, thank God, you guys.
Well, that's yeah. how you always feel afterwards. Yeah. You like come out of it like you were on a bender for 6 months oh. and you're like, oh.
I was like in labyrinth.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, need to, you need like a full rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like exhausting in a way where you're just kind of like, you need to be picked up and put back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a person that I only hooked up with a few times, but he was a musician. And again, just.
It's just, I mean, the amount of musicians I've led just do horrible.
Absolutely bust in you and then ruin your fucking life.
Yeah.
It don't date. I'm sorry. Don't date musicians. I'm going to say it as someone whose life has been stolen from them for a good 5 years by musicians. Don't. Unless it's like a violinist, because then like whatever.
That's chill.
No right. one's getting
like
pussy from that. Yeah. Like we're going to do like a cellist yeah. who
string
has.
Section,
gonna go. Yeah,
string section.
That's fine. Fun. That's yeah. absolutely fine.
Yeah. But don't find a loophole where it's a fucking bass.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a saxophone also questionable.
No.
Questionable. Jazz. Mm-mm. Absolutely not jazz. But like. This musician was mean to me. This is what it is. If you're mean to me early on, I'm like,
yeah, yes. me too.
He was mean to me. He was condescending. And he was also like, oh my God. We were like dating and I opened up the apps and he had changed his picture.
I was just talking to someone about this the other day.
When you see the picture change, you're like, oh, you're like customizing to get further pussy.
Dude, the person I was just talking about, when we broke up, one of my friends sent me a screenshot of their Hinge profile because she didn't know we broke up.
Yeah.
The day after we broke up, sent me a screenshot that she had seen them on Hinge
uh-huh.
and thought they were cheating on me. But I had to be like, we broke up yesterday. I guess they're back on Hinge. And the first photo was a photo I took.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like a version of you taking photos of that guy to send to that other yeah. girl. You're like, I'm setting you up to get pussy.
Yeah. No. A friend of mine was just telling me yesterday that she broke up with a guy because she opened Hinge to show her friend his profile.
Yeah.
And there were new pictures and they were pictures he took to send to her.
Love it. Wow. Love it. Love it.
The pig.
The disrespect is
absolute
so pig. Yeah, you're a pig. You're a fucking pig. And I remember he would always stay over after we hooked up. And then one time he did the, oh, I actually have to get up early. And this was like after the picture change and he left and I was just in my bathroom, like looking in the mirror being like, they always leave.
Yeah.
They always yeah. leave and you're alone and you feel empty. And here we are.
When I first
again.
Started dating my boyfriend, I made myself never open Hinge, even though we weren't exclusive.
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid of the picture change.
Yeah.
Because I was into him immediately, but we weren't exclusive. It turns out, like, we've talked, neither of us were dating other people, but we hadn't talked about
yeah.
it. And I was like, if I see the fucking picture change,
I'm going to freak out.
I mean, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that feeling like you're going to throw up.
Yes.
It's the gut wrenching feeling.
Dude, when I got that screenshot of the Hinge profile the day after we broke up, I was walking on stage at an open mic.
Oh, God.
And I just went on stage and I was like, something just happened to me.
You're like, okay.
And I was only at an open mic because if I was home alone all day, I would have like gone insane and jumped out a window.
Yeah.
So I went to an open mic and as I'm walking on stage, I get this text and I was like, and then I bombed.
Of course. You open up with like, all right, this is not what I thought my life would be. Let's yeah. open with that.
I literally was like, is anyone else here? Because they can't be alone right now. And everyone just stared at me and I was like, okay.
And the answer is most of them.
Yeah.
The
don't
answer
lie.
Is most of you, you pig liars.
I think we must go.
We must go. But, you know, listen to the warning signs, people. Or don't, because I don't run your life. But we've yeah. told you. We've warned you. Lizzie, Mike, Ronnie, it's been a pleasure. Where
Let's
can they find
it.
You? Follow you.
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Listen to my other podcast, Close Calls. And please, for the love of God, watch my Don't Tell set. It's linked in my Instagram. I worked really hard on it. Leave a nice comment.
It's fantastic. Mike?
I'm at Mike Coscarelli on all social platforms. Our podcast, Mike Coscarelli Rules, can be found both on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, part of the Slickback Studio podcast network. So go ahead and check that out. Veronica?
Don't find me anywhere.
Wow.
She's riding off into the sunset.
Yeah. Ronnie, someone DM'd me about your clip and was like, I love Ronnie. I tried to find her on social media and I can't find her. And like, that's so cool. And I was like, well, she actually has a private Instagram, but I can't give it out. And I felt so cool. You can follow me at Andrea Comedy 69 on all social platforms. And we have a YouTube page, Respectfully Podcast. And follow us there. Write some comments. Fight against the man. We love you.
Bye. Woo!